Hey, welcome back to you, San Diego. 4:01 is the time. Chris Hello. Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park. Padres Twins tonight. Matt Scraby alongside. Scraby's got another pregame.
Yep.
This evening. Sam Levitt doing the game again tonight.
He sure is.
Back to back for Sammy Levitt.
That's right.
Saw Jesse Agler last night over on the TV side. Worried. May never get his job back.
No, that's not true.
No, that's not true. But Sam Sammy did a hell of a job.
He did. He really
Sammy called a hell of a game last night. I was able to hear some of it. And, you know, he's got the smooth vocal tones.
The pipes.
He does. Like, I could announce a game, but I don't have the same...
Shasberg, ready to go.
Yeah, see, it sounds like that. And that's just probably not... The way you make fun of my voice is hilarious.
Schlossberg, ready to go.
That's pretty close.
God, that sounds like it's from like 1845.
And it was from 2000 what?
9.
Schlossberg, ready to go.
15 years ago now. Strasburg, ready to go.
Strasburg, ready to go, everybody. Oh, when you go to your local Top Hat store, make sure you mention me and you get 10% off.
When you go to your local what?
Top Hat store.
Top Hat store.
Top Hat & Co.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All right, we're going to play a little Chris versus the fans because we're ready to go.
Are you going to read the prize or do you want to do it on the other side?
Yeah, I'll read it on the other side.
All right.
You had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
You know, we got a very clever comment on the chat right now about you're still wearing the pink Fernando Tatis bucket hat.
I am.
Nate called you L.O. Cool J instead
L-O cool
of
J.
L.L. Cool J. I'll take that. Yeah, that's a good one.
I've been called a lot worse, Nate. Thank you very much.
Yes, you have.
Arizona, by the way, Diamondbacks get on the board in the first. 1-0.
Tell me that. All right, the Marlins. Here we go. You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you are a first-time player, let us know before the first question. You'll get that question for free for today. Chris versus the Fans is presented by SD Fat Loss. Lose 20 to 30 pounds in just 60 days. Visit SDFatLoss.com to schedule your free consultation.
And if you win, you're qualified for the grand prize. Two nights stay at Resorts World Las Vegas and two tickets to see Carrie Underwood, The Reflection Show at Resorts World Theater. Carrie is backed by popular demand, overwhelming demand even. She's going to be there the rest of 2024 and then in 2025 as well. And you can get tickets for that now at AXS.com, AXS.com or RWLasVegas.com. Carrie Underwood. Quite the performer.
I like her Sunday Night Football.
I like
song.
Carrie Underwood. Here's my Carrie. Can you see in the chat? Pretend this is the mic. Well, it is a microphone.
Yeah.
This is Carrie Underwood. She's fine.
Okay.
But she drives me nuts because she does this when she sings.
What?
Watch my fingers.
Okay. Oh, she taps the microphone.
But she doesn't make a sound. But as she's singing, her fingers, she's keeping in rhythm. Yes, but it drives me bananas. Stop it.
Why does that drive you nuts?
Stop
Can
it.
You hear it on the mic?
No.
It's like a nervous tick
she can't get rid of.
I'm fine with it.
Check it out. See if it drives you crazy.
All right.
Like it drives me crazy.
All right.
Carrie Underwood always has the fingers tapping on the microphone.
Well, when she sings, I dug my key into the car.
Hang on.
Okay, stop. We're going to break
the
microphones.
Too much.
All right, let's get to our first contestant for today. We have Gio. Gio, hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
Hey, Gio. How are you?
Good. Are you ready to play?
Doing well. I am a first-time player.
Oh,
first-time player.
Not only did he say it, he said it. Beautiful.
He said it.
Here we go,
Gio. You are on to question number two.
No.
Which current Diamondback also played for the Cubs, Dodgers, Braves, and Giants?
Peterson.
Hey, nice job. You got it. Here we go.
Jock Peterson. He's been on a roll.
Jock Peterson, yes.
You got it. You're good.
Yes, you are.
You're good. You're into
yes,
the finals.
You are. Here we go. Question number three. Let's see here. What Padres player holds the single season franchise record of 70 stolen bases?
7-0. Which guy, Gio?
Let's go with Tony Gwynn.
He's going to go with T.
Stay there.
I'm going to go with Alan Wiggins.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry about that, Gio.
Sorry, Gio.
Appreciate
you playing. Alan Wiggins, who played with Tony Gwynn. Was a leadoff hitter on the 1984 World Series team.
And also stole a bunch of bases.
Wiggins was fast. Yes, he was.
All right, let's get to our next contestant, which will be Benoit.
Benoit.
Hello, Benoit.
Hello, sir.
Hello. Yeah. First time player.
We're rolling them in today. That's good. I love this first time player. That means everybody wants to get into this and have some fun. That's good.
All right, here we go. Question number two.
Number two.
The Padres won 8 straight series, but lost that streak in Denver to the Rockies. Prior to that, what team won the last series over the Padres?
Before the series started. Before the streak started.
Yeah.
I got you.
What was the last team to win before
the streak? I got you, Scrape.
Oh, man. I'm just gonna go with, was it the Mariners?
The Mariners. They did win. That's not it. Stay there.
It was right before the All-Star break. Braves.
Sorry, Benoit. Sure. I like your name.
It's just before the break. Yeah, sorry, Benoit. But thanks for playing.
Yep.
Make sure you play again, man. Why not?
Sure.
You can win the next one. You never know. Now that you've got your feet wet.
Yes.
Move on. Scrab.
Here we go to Bert. Hello, Bert.
Gentlemen.
Hello, Bert. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you for asking.
Good. All right. Here we go. Question number one.
Let's play ball.
Coming into today, who has received the most walks in baseball?
What player?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I have a guess. Is this the number one?
Coming into today,
this
most
is.
Walks in baseball is going to be...
Gonna need an answer.
I'm just going to go Juan Soto. I know it's not, though.
It is.
It is. How about that?
It is Juan Soto.
What?
You nailed it, Bert. Juan Soto. Nobody,
I thought it was in the National League.
Nobody can outwalk Juan Soto.
No, he has 104 walks. Aaron Judge, though, has 102. So the walk streak is the most walk streak for Juan Soto is in danger, Chris.
Well, has he won most walks a few years in a row?
I think he's like one of the first players under the age of something to do it so many years
He's
in
the
a
greatest
row.
Walker of all time.
Not a speed walker, though.
No,
we
can't.
Got,
he
we got
can't
the
put
Olympics
him in the,
for that.
Yeah, can't be in the Olympics.
All right, here we go, Bert. Question number two.
Good job, Bert. Good job.
Who currently leads all of Major League Baseball with a .349 batting average?
Shohei.
Ohtani.
Unfortunately, I think he's under .290 now, maybe?
There's nobody in the National League. As a matter of fact, I think Arise was the only National League player over .300 for a while. I'm pretty sure this is a self-serving question for your own guy.
It was written by Adam.
For your own guy, Bobby Witt Jr.
Sorry, Bert.
Sorry, Bert. Very good on the first one, though. Well done.
That was good.
Yeah.
Bobby Witt Jr., .349.
Bobby Witt Jr.'s having a... He hit like .500 in the month of July, didn't he, or something?
It was close
it was
to
ridiculous.
It was ridiculous.
He didn't make an out for like a month.
It was crazy.
Yeah. Bobby Witt Jr.'s having a... He is mashing for the Royals.
He's one of those guys, the prospects, where he worked out really well.
That's right. He's one of the highly touted guys that they were correct about.
Let's go to our next contestant, Craig. Hello, Craig.
Hello.
Hey, Craig.
Hello,
welcome to it.
Good, good. This is not Craig Elston, though, right?
No.
Okay.
If it was, we wouldn't let you on. So.
Well, no. Elston knows his trivia, but he can't win the prize, so it would be, you know.
It would kind of be self-serving to have one of our other hosts on the trivia here.
Maybe. All right, here we go, Craig. Question number one. This is kind of a hard first question, but it's the first question you get. The 2014 Winter Olympics were held in which Russian city?
Helsinki, Russia.
It's lovely this time of year.
Yes, moving over from Finland, where
I think,
it actually
I think
is.
Chris knows this.
Sochi? Yeah.
Nice
Sorry
job.
About that.
Nice job. Craig.
Sochi. Was it Sochi or Sochi?
Sochi.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry about that, Craig, but thanks. All right. Everybody's playing well. It's a good, solid game today.
All right. We have one more contestant before we go tiebreaker.
You're so tough on that.
Roll the die, please.
Just because you just...
I'm running out of questions. That's what I'm doing.
I know.
Four is Gilberto!
Gilberto!
Hello, Gilberto.
That was by chance. I don't want anybody thinking I'm cheating for Gilberto.
Hola, muchachos. ¿Cómo están?
Muy bien. By the way, Gilberto, just so you know, if it was up to me, I would cheat for you, but I didn't cheat for you. The dice just came up your way there.
Oh, thank you, Chris. Guys, I'm going to the game tonight, okay?
All right.
Oh, have fun. Make sure you cheer very loud for the Padres, okay?
Gilberto wants a good pennant race.
The player that I want, that I love to see every time I go to the ballpark, is the next rookie of the year, Jackson Merrill.
Yes. I love it. It's amazing.
Tony did not get so excited about my story of him rounding the second base bag yesterday.
Well,
I was really impressed by that because most guys just pull into second and, you know, they're really happy with their double. But he was really thinking about third base. And I just think that just another level of, you know, how keen he is as a player, you know, and how tuned in he is to trying to, you know, make it happen.
I do know that Tony, you know, I think that was a comment that that hit with more of the non-professional baseball people, just because it is something that we don't really think about. As a baseball player, you probably should think about that all the time.
You should. But
you don't.
A lot of guys don't. You watch a lot of guys just coast into second base with a double, and it's, you know, it's fine. Nobody complains about it.
Yeah. All right. Gilberto?
One thing about Merrill, he anticipates a lot of things. He plays like a 5-year, 10-year veteran.
He is wise beyond his years, Gilberto.
Oh, yeah. I hope he keeps his edge because he can be a very, very special player. And why not? I'm gonna throw it in there, guys. If he keeps it up the way he's going, he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Oh, boy.
If he doesn't get hurt.
That means Scraby and I get to go to Cooperstown and interview him. So I hope you're right.
In 35 years.
If we make it.
Okay.
I'm going to back off on the Hall of Famer talk, but I do love me some Jackson Merrill. That is for sure. Gilberto, here we go. Question number one. Who currently leads all of Major League Baseball with a 2.49 ERA?
Scooble. Eric Scooble.
Correct.
Nice attaboy, Gilberto.
Here we go.
By the way, that's a really lousy ERA.
2.49? Yeah.
To lead baseball.
You think it should be lower?
Yes. Somebody should be in at least 2.2. Oh, come on.
Okay, well.
Nobody's
splitting hairs over here.
No.
Question number two. Which NFL wide receiver has a streak of 10 straight 1,000-yard seasons to start their career?
Yeah.
Current NFL receiver?
Yes. Streak of 10 straight 1,000-yard seasons.
Wow, 10 years. I cannot think who could it be, 10 years. I don't think he has played 10 years, but I have to go with Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek. Oh, he got the buzzer.
Stay there, Gilberto.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a shot, and I don't think he's played 10 years either. But I'm going to give it a shot and go with Davante Adams.
Oh, wow. It was actually Tampa Bay's own Mike Evans.
Wow, Mike Evans? Yeah, very good. I think I actually heard that last year. I just didn't remember.
I think they forced him the ball to get him that 1,000-yard season last year.
Yeah, he might have been hurting, but he may. Oh, yeah, that's a good question. Fair question. And correct. question by
you. Thank you.
Which is most important.
Okay. Here we go, Gilberto. Question number three. What year did the NBA add the three-point line?
Wow. Man.
Ooh, boy.
Three-point line.
One,
that's back in the 90s. The 90s, 80s. No, 82?
82. 82. He says. Stay there.
God, I just don't know. 79.
Are you kidding me? I'm sorry, Gilberto.
Gilberto, I'm sorry.
Really? Really?
I'm good. You know? Sorry, what can I tell you?
All right. Good. We're going tiebreaker. I have Jock Peterson's page up, so we're going to do Jock Peterson.
Jock Peterson.
Today. All right. Here we go. Let's get to our... you're doing that.
David. Mission Bay.
David in Mission Bay. David, have you ever played the tiebreaker before? Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, you have. So I don't need to explain it and mess it up for you. Chris?
Yes.
No.
Okay. How many home runs has Jock Peterson hit in his career?
In his career.
Coming into today.
All right, he might have already hit one today.
Yeah.
He's been hot lately. How many years has he played now? About 10?
Oh, he has played, hold on.
11 years for Jock.
Yep, 7 with the Dodgers, 2 with the Giants, 1 with the Diamondbacks.
Seems like he
Cubs.
Hits about 20
Great.
Home runs a year, but it doesn't seem like he's got 200 career home runs. That seems like too many. So I'm going to say 175.
175. David, is the actual answer higher or lower?
I'm going to go lower.
Lower. Sorry, David. That is not correct.
What had coming
into today, 206.
He's over 200.
Yeah, he is.
Man.
He's hit 20 home runs this year.
Yeah, 20 this year.
I guess so.
He hits 20 every year. Most years. And that's why I thought it would be over 200, but I don't remember the celebration.
2019, he hit 36.
Jock Peterson. Better slugger. But what's his career batting average? About 210?
241.
That's higher than I would have thought.
All right, let's get to our next contestant. We'll go to John in San Diego. Hello, John.
Hey, John. Hello?
John.
John. Well, next, right? We get another.
Let's go
one.
To Matthew.
Yep.
Matthew, are you there?
Wait till I roll the die. I get a kick out of the rolling.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
Very good, sir. Very good.
Here we go. You're playing the tiebreaker. Chris, how many? This is going to be a tough one. How many triples has he had in his career?
In 8 years for Jock Peterson?
11 years.
11 years. I was going to jokingly say 11, like one a year. I'll say 20.
20.
He can't have more than 2 a year on average.
Matthew, is the actual answer higher or lower?
Higher.
Sorry about that, Matthew.
What is it?
17.
17. Man.
I'm calling it. You have won today, Chris.
I'm the winner today.
Yeah, you're the winner today. We got to go to break.
Nobody qualifies today.
Not today.
Sorry about that, everybody.
Yeah.
Take a break. Check traffic.
We did a full, 15 minutes of this game. So
I did well. What can I tell you? Today was my day. We'll give you another shot at it. Not tomorrow, because tomorrow we have, a 20-minute show. But Thursday we'll be back.
You know what? If you want to play Chris versus the Fans live, please be in attendance at Casa Octavio, 10th and J, at 4 p.m.
You're going to call people out of the audience, huh?
Yes. If you would like to play, make sure you're there just a little bit early. I will try to take some of you from the audience, because
nice
I know that
you.
People have asked for that before.
All right. Thursday will be your chance. We're broadcasting live at Casa Octavio, 10th and J, down next to Petco Park. Right now, we're broadcasting a traffic check.
So, Kimmy, he's going to go on the IL. That's not the good news, clearly, but the good news is it was a decision. You know, whether he would be able to come back 3 to 6 days. If it wasn't his throwing shoulder, it'd probably be more and more patient with him being able to be able to come back. But we didn't want to get into this. Let's try to, get him back and then not be able to let it heal. So we just made the decision with him that, the 10 days made sense. Who's to say it won't go past 10 days, but we're optimistic it won't. It, or too much further than that. Phillips. But anyway, he's going on the 10-day IL, and, you know, we're going to bring up Matt Batten.
There's the news. Came down about an hour and a half ago. Yes, Ha-Seong Kim was hurt on Sunday in Colorado, and he's not going to play for a while. 10-day IL, shoulder injury. They're not really saying what it actually is, right? Strained, jammed, whatever. Shoulder injury.
Yes.
Just go with that.
Yes.
The one part of that that I, you know, want to point out that you should pay closer attention to is the part where at the very end he said, yeah, it could potentially go a little longer than that. We hope not, but it could. 90% of the time, it goes a little longer than that.
Yeah, I don't feel good with that comment.
I don't either. So that, I'm just saying, I hope he's back in 10 days. I'll be surprised if he's back in 10 days.
And if they can keep it up, I mean,
so
let's say it this way. He's going to be missed on defense, but he's not going to be missed on offense.
Offensively, he hasn't contributed a whole lot. He's hit one home run since June 22nd. His average is down in the 220s.
If that padding in Miami was a little bit fixed,
he'd have two home runs. He'd have two home runs. Look, Ha-Seong's not had a great year offensively, and he hasn't, to me, hasn't played as well defensively as he did last year. That doesn't mean he's still not a good defensive player. And you're right, they're going to miss him. Cronenworth, I believe, will end up moving to shortstop, and Arraez and Solana will share first base with the other going to DH. But for tonight, Tyler Wade gets another start at shortstop. This hour, 97.3 The Fan, is brought to you by Express Employment Professionals. If your supply chain demands a flexible workforce, hire with Express Employment Professionals. With contract and full-time workers from Express Employment, you get the staff you need and manage contingent labor costs. Learn more at expresspros.com. That's expresspros.com. All right, short but powerful segment there,
yes,
Scraby.
Yes, very powerful.
With the Ha-Seong Kim news.
It's quite unfortunate.
But it is.
You kind of are a little bit happy, though, aren't you? You've been calling for Ha-Seong Kim to take a
I'm never happy to see a guy. I know, biggest Ha-Seong Kim fan, you know that, but I'm not a fan of losing any player when I'm trying to make a,
I know,
you know, a playoff drive.
Especially a guy who's been starting all year.
And a guy that is certainly capable of, you know, heating up again and starting to contribute, you know, more than he has been.
And according to Bradford Doolittle, he's a great base runner. So,
according to Bradford Doolittle, he's one of the most underrated players in the league.
Which is probably true.
Because of his base running. I got a tweet last night from somebody who said, what is Bradford Doolittle, a satire writer? The guy was like, the stuff that he writes is making no sense at all.
Yeah, it's very strange, I gotta say.
How's our progress going on getting him on the show?
It's not going well, Chris.
I think you should stay on it just for fun.
I'm going to.
Just say Bradford. I mean, it's gotten to the point where you have to come on, man. Your honor is at stake.
I don't know. I'm not going to put words in his mouth.
No, don't put words in his mouth. Although, I think maybe he would come out sounding better if you did.
You've done that for him.
That's right. No, he did it to himself.
Well, yes, he did.
But I didn't rank Jackson Merrill the sixth best rookie. He did.
Okay.
Don't blame me for that.
I'm not going to. You're right.
Big Five is next on Gwen and Chris. All right, 4:37 the time. Don't forget, Thursday, just a couple of days away, Scraby and I will be out at Casa Octavio, 10th and J, right across from Petco Park. And we're going to be giving away three pairs of tickets to that night's Padres-Mets game. So circle it on your calendar. Just 2 days away, this Thursday at 2 o'clock, we will broadcast the show live, Casa Octavio. We certainly invite you to join us. Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Mr. Scraby, and a check of traffic with a very powerhouse, I must say, today, Big Five.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, guys, before we get started, I want to remind everyone to join us on Thursday, August 22nd at 2 p.m. for a live broadcast at Casa Octavio on 10th and J across from Petco Park. Chris and I are going to be giving away three pairs of tickets to that night's Padres-Mets game. That's right. That night's Padres-Mets game, three pairs of tickets, and that is, again, this Thursday beginning at 2 p.m. at Casa Octavio on 10th and J downtown. Chris and I will be there. Tony will be on the show, but he will be at Petco Park, so hope to see everyone there.
Everybody better get down there, take the day off Thursday, come on down, win some Padre tickets, and you know, have some fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Number five.
Boom, Tony says. Michael King struggled in the first two innings last night, but was able to turn it around and hang tough, even if he didn't. The Padres pulled him after six innings, 85 pitches, and he reached, on the season, 141 and a third innings with his start last night, which is 36 and two-thirds more than his previous career high set last year at the Yankees. And even further, 20 innings shy of his minor league high set across three levels in 2018. So they saved an inning for King where they could last night instead of leaving him in. Tony, do you agree with the decision to remove him from the game?
Yeah, I definitely agree with the decision. Yeah, 85 pitches, got through six innings. He had to really work through the first, I'd say, what, three innings? First two innings he had to really kind of battle. Control still wasn't quite there in the third. So those are a lot of high stretch pitches. That's a different 85 pitches than, you know, some of his other starts where he's come out early. So, yeah, in this case, I don't know that they were necessarily shaving anything because he had some high stress pitches there early. So, yeah, I agree with the decision.
Chris?
If I had Jason Adam and Tanner Scott and Robert Suarez, I'd take everybody out after six innings, honestly. I mean, especially Jason Adam. I mean, I don't know. Did he throw an immaculate inning? I know he didn't, but he struck out those three twin batters so easily. It was almost as if they weren't major league players. And, you know, look, the Padres pitching right now is so good in the bullpen that they're turning everything into a six-inning game, and I'm really starting to believe as we go forward, knock on wood, that they're going to be really tough to beat in October. I mean, if they can get a couple of runs out in front, with this bullpen right now, Mike Schilt has so many options. And, you know, yeah, another option was to stay with Michael King, but it's just you got better guys that can come in. It's really great, you know, problem and issues to have right now. And I want to say one more thing about this innings thing with Michael King and Matt Waldron and, you know, all of these guys that supposedly can't pitch more innings than they ever have before. Yes, they can. Apparently they can. We've seen it on more than one occasion now. I mean, Garrett Crochet, we don't like this guy, but he's pitched way more innings than he ever did before. King's the same way. It's quite amazing that these pitchers are capable of doing when they're not babied all the time.
Well, Michael King wanted to go 180 innings. That was his preseason goal.
I mean, Seth Lugo has gone from a reliever to a 180 guy, inning guy, to maybe winning the Cy Young. You know, that's not bad in 2 years for a guy that supposedly couldn't pitch more than 60 innings. So, anyway, I just wanted to get that in.
Okay. You feel better?
A little.
Okay.
A little.
Number four.
We've talked many times about Major League Baseball and whether or not they are ever going to turn their back on the A's and A's leadership. It didn't seem likely that they would turn their back on John Fisher and the A's, but there have been some comments made lately that really have people asking, are they starting to take the turn on John Fisher? Phillies managing partner John Middleton said to The Athletic, "We have an obligation. We are accountable to the fans and to the city. If you don't approach it that way, you shouldn't be an owner, in my opinion." So, Chris, you're up first. Do you think the owners are going to eventually vote John Fisher out?
In a wonderful world, they probably would, and they would throw Dick Monfort out with him.
he's not on the chopping block.
Well, you know, look, I mean, the Padres and their fans should be thrilled about this because Dick Monfort is a team you can automatically beat every year. But I don't think that they'll ever, you know, kick him out. Owners, they're competitive, and when you see an easy mark out there that's willing to give you money and not compete, you know, why would you want to move on from that person? That's one less owner that you have to concern yourself with, you know, performing better than. There's been lousy owners in baseball throughout history. I mean, Marge Schott with the Reds. I mean, there's so many.
I just read something about her. She was so mad after they lost that she wouldn't pay for, like, a postseason party.
Let me tell you something. This lady was crazy. You know, there's been a lot of them, and she just came to mind first. But, you know, they're all putting their money in. They all have a stake. They're in a billionaire's boys/women's club. And, you know. So I don't think they'll ever do anything. But I'm glad to hear this Phillies owner say what he said. I just don't think that all 30 owners are held accountable to that.
Tony, do you think the owners are going to eventually vote John Fisher out?
Absolutely not. Mm. They're not even thinking about it, actually. This is just a one-off comment. It certainly takes, I think it's the majority of owners to vote. I think it's even more than the majority.
I think it's like 75%.
Yeah, so like that means a whole bunch of owners besides this one would have to jump in and be like, yeah, we're done. So, nope, don't think it's going to happen. I don't know that it's ever happened in baseball.
I can't recall it ever happening. And there's been way, this sounds hard to believe, there's been worse owners than John Fisher.
Way worse owners.
And we've had a couple of them in San Diego, if you really want to know the truth. So,
I guess I did. Thank you for enlightening me.
You're welcome, sir. Number
three. All right, the NFL has made its NFL Sunday Ticket service available on the Apple App Store. You're going to have to pay $679.99 if you would like access to that, with an option to add NFL Red Zone. If you want NFL Red Zone for the whole package, you're paying $739.99. Now, the league.
Wait, say that again?
So, if you just want the games, $679.99. You want the games and Red Zone, $739.99.
What if I just want Red Zone? Can I pay $60 only?
It wasn't in the article that I read.
It's almost a full rack for.
Yes.
Oh my God.
It's $60 more if I'm doing my math correctly.
No, but he's talking about the rack for the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm saying like almost $1,000 for.
Yeah, just about. Well, by the time you figure
it
all out.
Stop blaming the NFL, guys, because the league came out and said the pricing isn't its business. Quote, the NFL does not control the pricing of Sunday Ticket and does not set or receive any additional fees associated with its sale, end quote. Now, here's where the trick is. The Apple App Store actually takes 30% of what apps make, and many are thinking the NFL is okay with these prices because it will recoup the 30% fee with the outrageous prices. So, Tony, you've already kind of answered this. Is this price just right, too high, or too low?
It's too high. Did they just get sued for this?
Like, yeah, but the decision was reversed, and
that's because the jurors didn't find didn't follow directions. It seems like
someone's pocket got a little heavier too.
Yeah, no, this is too much. That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money.
That's more than it was last year, wasn't it?
Well, this is specifically for the Apple App Store, so it could be priced differently elsewhere.
Yeah. Thank God I don't have to go through the Apple App Store. That's that's a tough one to justify.
thank God I don't know how to work it. Even if I had this,
good point.
If I had the $750, I couldn't purchase it because I wouldn't know how to work it.
Chris,
well, it's ridiculously high, but I mean, isn't this a supply and demand world? And won't people pay it? I mean, that's the problem. I mean, I'm just guessing here. But if absolutely nobody bought it, like they had no sales, they would probably have to bring the price down a little bit. But
or they wouldn't even offer it.
Yeah, right. But they're not going to have to bring the price down because
we're all going to keep buying it.
We're all going to keep buying it. So, yeah, I think it's absurd, but you know, from their part, it's, you know, makes sense, I guess. It's what you can get.
I used to be friends.
We would have to call their bluff, basically.
Yeah.
And we won't.
We won't.
I'm not going to spend a dime.
I mean, they could honestly raise Scott Hansen and the Red Zone to $500 a season, and I would go get $500 and pay it.
Okay.
That's how badly I want to watch Red Zone, and I need to watch
Red
Zone.
They're going to charge you $750. Are you paying it?
Yes, I probably would. I know. I'm speaking for all the other.
I know.
I'm speaking for all the other idiots out there who are going to pay for the Apple app.
I mean, this is what we do. I know at like the halfway point they lower the price for you. I would hold out.
Good point.
I had to do the $800. Just on principle, I think I might have to hold out until the price comes down because there's not as many games.
What did I have to pay to watch one Miami-Kansas City playoff game? $30 plus all the bonus months they charged me Peacock when I didn't even have it?
Yes, I do remember this.
And I happily paid it. This is what we're going to do, and this is why I'm...
For a guy who doesn't like to waste money, this seems like you're wasting money.
Well, it's not. This is a need for me, Scraby. I need to watch this stuff.
This is an expensive fix you've
got. It is. Look, I don't have a lot of other addictions, so, you know, I can afford this one. But this is why I'm saying, and I'm trying to, you know, go out on a limb all the time, and you don't let... You know, you kind of give me a hard time. What I'm trying to say is I don't want the world of football and sports to go streaming because I don't want us to have to pay these ridiculous prices. I want it to stay on free TV where we can all see it. That's what I'm rooting for.
So the networks.
But I know that I can't, you know, keep it from happening. That's all.
All right. You feel better now after that one?
A little.
Okay. This is more of a thing.
I know. By the time they get to the end of this, I'm going to be in good shape.
An unexpected therapy session. Number two. Last week, Oklahoma State football coach Mike Gundy told players to stop asking for more NIL money. Today, he endorsed a program asking fans to provide more NIL money. Oklahoma State announced, I think, a pretty good idea. Today, they announced that players' football helmets this fall will have QR codes that will link back to a campaign for name, image, and likeness fundraising. The codes are going to be 1.5 square inches and placed on the back of the players' helmets. So they're saying you could pause the TV on a close-up, and I'm thinking if players were smart, they would just point the camera to the QR code after they do something great. So that you scan the code, it'll be taken to a donation page, and you can make a donation to that player. Chris, do you like this idea?
I don't like any of it.
What?
Do you?
At least they're making money off of what they're doing on the field. Some guy scores a touchdown, I want to give this kid $100.
Let me revise my statement. I like the fact that these kids are finally getting some money. I don't like how it has gotten completely and wildly out of control. And I don't know what I can do to rein it back in.
Nothing. That's the answer.
You're right. So I'm just going to have to watch it all unfold. And I understand that every college athlete everywhere now is trying to maximize the amount of money they can make while they're playing college sports. And I suppose that's a good thing. I just wish there was a better way to, you know, have some sort of governing, you know, or a governator on, you know, all of the money that's flowing all over the place.
Arnold Schwarzenegger needs to step in?
The gubernator. But I just, you know, this is the latest. I guess it's a good idea. I don't know what guy. I have no idea what innovative players are going to have to do to get their helmets on TV, though. And eventually they're going to stop playing the game altogether and just run around waving their helmets at the camera.
They have to do something in the game.
Who says they have to do something good? What if I want to reward a guy for missing a block?
Then go ahead.
Thank you. Well, you just said he's got
to find his QR code.
Well, you just said that they got to do something to get rewarded. They don't have to do anything to be rewarded.
You're right.
Just be on TV.
Think about that. Tony, do you like this idea?
Yeah, I think it's creative. I like the QR code. It's coming from the insane fans that are watching these games anyway, and they feel like throwing a $5 donation, a $100 donation, have at it. I think it's pretty cool. I like the idea. As ungoverned as this world
it's ungoverned.
As this whole thing is right now, I don't know that it'll stay that way, I think as a lot of things, there's going to be some growing pains, Noob, and it sucks to watch it go down the way it's going down, but I think at some point they'll find a sweet spot, and hopefully it'll be run better.
Can I add another suggestion?
Yes, this is the Chris therapy session.
It is. Can I add another suggestion?
Sure.
Since Tony thinks it's a pretty good idea, and it's, you know, maybe it is.
Well, when I thought it was a good idea, you didn't think it was a good idea.
I didn't listen to you. But here's my thing. What if you can point the camera at the QR code, and if the guy fumbles, you can take $10 out of his account?
I don't like it.
No.
I mean, maybe the $10 you put in, you can't just be taking money out of his account. It's like stealing.
It just has like a running bank total during the game.
That's right. That's right. And at the end of the game, the sideline reporter reports who ends up with the best game and the most money.
Wow. Like,
would finally give the support.
And then you can bet on that, too.
It's finally give the sideline reporter something reasonable to do. Yeah.
All right. Chris is on a good one today. I love it.
One.
Have you guys ever heard of raw dogging? No, Chris says no.
That's a negative.
Tony says, what? Well, it's actually, you know, when you sit on a flight and you see how long you can go on the flight with zero entertainment, that's one of the ways that phrase is described.
Okay.
I knew exactly what I was doing when I went into this.
What?
Yeah, Tony was like, oh! I'm going to have to explain to Chris in the break. This is actually what some TikTokers are doing now. So they take a long flight, and they do not use any source of entertainment. They just sit there. Some do it for 14 hours, some do it for 5 hours. One person I saw even did it from L.A. to Sydney, Australia, which is insane to me. So, Tony, what's the most time you could go without any entertainment on a flight?
Can we just, before he answers, is there a reason that these people are doing this?
It's just what people are doing now.
It's the new challenge?
Yes, the new challenge, yes.
Well, let me ask you this. They're not documenting, because that's a form of entertainment, isn't it? Like, they can't document not doing anything.
Fantastic point. That's all I see is them documenting them doing nothing.
So if I sign on,
we'll get to you.
Ask
so
a question.
Excited. I did ask the question.
Well, I'm just saying
Tony needs to answer it.
He will. He'll have plenty of time. but if so and so raw dogs for 13 hours, well, you're the one that invented the term.
I didn't invent the term.
You did in my mind.
Okay. All right, back to Tony.
But what are the TikTok viewers looking at?
They're just looking at them basically in their seats saying, like, here's the map. Here's how long I've gone without any sort of entertainment. I've just been staring at the seat in front
of
me. Tony, how long could you go without entertainment?
First of all, I kind of like this challenge. It'll open up some of these kids that haven't ever had no entertainment before.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's how we all used to have to sit in the car for a long time. Like
no iPads.
Just looking at the trees and the highway going by you. That
playing
was all
I Spy.
Yeah, you had to make up games.
Hunch Buggy.
That's how those games were invented. However, I would be able to last as long as I could sleep.
Oh, I actually thought of that. You're right. So maybe like 4 hours?
I don't need entertainment, clearly, if I'm asleep. So if I can just, you know, sleep for however long the flight is, I can make it work. Other than that, I don't know how good I'd be now.
There was one flight I took when I used to fly a lot for work, and I knew that it was a brand new plane, and it said on my ticket, no in-flight entertainment services installed. So I brought my iPad and everything. There were at least 100 people that had no idea. They just had to stare at their seat for like the six-hour flight from San Diego to New York. It was great. Chris.
Yes.
How long could you go without any entertainment on a flight?
I can daydream for a lot longer than most people. And I believe, and I think, you probably know that just by looking at me, I think that daydreaming is an underused skill.
I daydream all the time.
Facts.
Tony brought it up. I mean, you know, these kids could use a little time staring out the window and just thinking about what they want to accomplish 100%. And what they want to do and how they can be better people. I think we all could use a little more daydreaming. So maybe this is by accident, a good invention.
All right. I like your answer, Chris.
Yep. I agree.
Yeah. If someone actually did this from L.A. to Sydney, they need their head checked because that might be a prison sentence. That is crazy.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for the Big Five. When we get back, Game 2, we'll set you up for that between the Padres and the Twins here on 97.3 The Fan.